summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go?
Hello, welcome into episode 107 of Keith's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and you might hear Quattro the dog in the background. And today I've got What's Crack, Coming Up, The Swap, Knit Along, Mum 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 section, Me Me Me, and the dram segments back this episode with a Tully Bardon single malt whiskey. And we end with the shoppy section. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes. So get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, being with me for a while now and being with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and taking the time to listen to me splaff on. I hope you're enjoying yourself too. A sandy hello to new group members, Jen Hen, who I met at the Highland Wool Festival. And she had the most lovely colour affection shawl on. I meant to mention it last episode and I'm keep thinking back to it. Very tempted to make one of these now. Jay Doppler, Lana and Katie Downey, welcome in. Random hellos are to Elaine, who loves knots again, Louise Tilbrook, The Falling Sheep, Montana Sue, Sand Cola, AMH 1956 and Curvy Jacks, who had a lovely new dress on the other day. Thank you for the iTunes reviews to Bethy4, Pipney Jane and Gardening Witch, Florida Kelly, Mickey Derry, aka Lisa Lynn, and Les Deer. Oh, it made my day when I read them. I melted! I wasn't even in the polytunnel.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? A lot of you enjoyed the last episode being outside listening to the birdies tweeting because I recorded it from my inside of my polytunnel last episode. Now, I didn't realise how loud that sparrow was until I was editing it. And he gave me a sore head. He must have a high frequency cheep. It's a wee bit windy because I've been out to get some herbs, but the plastic's moving back and forward and I thought, that's going to make a bit of a noise. And Jack Sparrow's tweeting away as well. So you just got Quattro wildlife and there's no bags of sand this episode. Have you looked at the front page of Ravelry recently? Now, I normally go straight to the forums when I click it on, but one day I was on the front page for some reason. It's got full of good tutorials about how to use Ravelry to its fullest ability. There are some handy wee tips for pattern searching and stash usage. So go on and look at the tutorials on the front page and then give all these bits a try. Also still going on will be Stash Dash, which I said was hosted by the Knit Girls videocast last episode, but it's not. It's the Must Stash podcast. Yeah, the clue's in the name, Louise, so apologies for that. I'll have to give them a wee try out because lots of you talk about them. And I have tried the Knit Girls, whom I like. So carry on dashing your stash. I admit, by the yarn gods, that I had a bit of a ravel around in mine. I'm going to have to upend it into the spare bed and sort through it into the weights of yarn. Now, I keep my stash in a big bag that's suitable that you could fit a bike in. You get them from IKEA, and I keep a great big bag of lavender at the bottom to keep with any marauding mothy type things. Thankfully this house only gets the moths in that are the wood eating moths, because we have a wood fire and they come in, but thankfully, and I looked this up, they don't eat clothes and wool and stuff, because if they ever sniffed their way up there I would be stuffed. But I like the smell of lavender, and I've always been in my head to make little lavender sashes to go all the way around the rest of the house. And I've not done that yet, but I've got the big bag of lavender. So, yeah. Oh, look, swallows. Moving on. So I found that my stash needs organised, and I could find that there was patterns printed out, but not for the amount of yarn that I had and the right weight. And then there was yarn, I thought, oh, I've got to do this, but I hadn't printed out the pattern and I balled it up, so it needs organised. I am loving the World Cup just now. Scotland didn't qualify again. So I'm quite neutral about all the teams. I'm like this supporting malarkey when I don't really care who wins. I just want to watch a really good game of football. There's something on every night for nearly a month that I can just sit and knit to. And the funny thing is, Richard's not that bothered by the football. He'd sort of take it or leave it, but I'm quite into it. And my favourite shot is when they're showing the footballers from their neck downwards. A purely wrong way of me doing that. You can appreciate the athletic body without having to see the stupid haircuts or their expressions when they're falling over, rolling around, going, "Oh no, he looked at me wrong." Now, my reasons for supporting the teams can be just random. As in, Switzerland likes has cheese. I've been on holiday in Switzerland. Therefore, I'm supporting Switzerland. Nigeria versus Iran? Care not for either country politics, but I don't think I've got any listeners in either country. So, Nigeria has elephants. I like elephants. So, I supported Nigeria. I can't actually remember if they won or not. That's my one. You should have heard me the day in the... So I've been really enjoying the World Cup.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up. Unwind Brighton on the 12th and 13th of July. And I said I'm going on the 12th, which is a Saturday. And the podcaster meet-up is at 1 o'clock in the mezzanine above the main shopping area at the cafe at the Brighton Corn Exchange. So please do come and meet us. I think there's going to be giveaways. Don't know if I'm giving myself away. Hopefully not, because I'll have to come home at some point. But there's loads of knit-alongs, and it's quite an interactive event. So if you're going to go, please come over and introduce yourselves. And it doesn't have to be just at the podcaster meet-up. So I'm not going to any of the classes, but I know that there are still places available on some of them. And I know that the lovely Karina Westerman is going. She is hosting classes. So kind of hoping that I could see her in her passing. But I know I'll not get much of a long further than a, "Hello, Karina!" Get a cuddle and off she goes. Now, Jane, aka Gardening Witch, got in touch with me 2 episodes back. And I meant to put them in the last 2, so apologies for this. But she asked if I would mention the following notice. Festiwool is holding its first yarn and wool affair event on Sunday, November the 2nd, 2014. And this is at the North Hertfordshire College in Hitchin, Hertfordshire. As well as exhibitions and demonstrations, there will be a fashion show by the college students. Refreshments will be available throughout the day. Exhibitors can apply online now at the website www.festiwool.com, F-E-S-T-I-W-O-O-L. Further details and tickets will be available near the time. So that was from Jane. So if you're down in that area, do go along and remember it's November the 2nd. Which was why I wasn't too bad about missing it the past episode. Sorry, Jane.
Nah, grandma section.
Here is the mum section. I recorded this when Mum was a judge at the Canisby show nearly 2 weeks ago now. I met her before I got to the hall with the craft stuff and I knew it had been judged and I asked her how I did. But I'll let you listen to the audio to see how I got on. We are at the Canisby show and Mum is the judge today. How are you today, Judge Zelia?
Fine.
Right, do you want to talk me through the handicraft section, what you judged?
Yes. The first one was seashore and it was... The winner was a needle felting with puffins. And it's just really, really good.
I quite like that picture of the Duncansby stacks and acrylic painting. It's beautiful.
It is good.
Very striking. Right, on to the cross stitch. Who did the cross stitch?
There was 2 in and Sarah did the one and the other lady...
No, it was actually the minister. It was a master.
The minister, was it?
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was puffins.
They were puffins too, and it was quite a large picture. It's gone at the moment.
Right. Then there is...
Pin cushions, and the first one was 2 mice with a bit of cheese in the middle, and it's felted.
Needle felted.
Yeah, and it's really, really good. It actually got the champion of the whole...
But why did you choose that in particular?
because it's intricate, it's small details, even to the tail is just beautiful. Colours, everything's lovely. And then the second and third are friends of ours, mushroom and wooden
bobbin. Miranda's my neighbour, and Sarah got the. She's done a material mushroom, and she's actually made female pin toppers. So every pin is made.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're all made.
I did notice them.
Yeah.
And I did like it. Yeah. Yes.
So it's lovely. And then on to the tea cosies. Isn't that stunning, that little purple teapot, Mother?
Yes. I didn't know it was yours.
What did you think about it? I know there's not an awful lot of work in it, but did you like it?
Oh, yes, I did. You're clever.
Yeah.
The winner has gone. It was it a mouse?
Mouse.
Oh, yes, a nurse mouse. And that's gone at the moment.
And why did you choose that?
Because of the lots of detail in it, and I think it was knitted. And the colour of the mouse's hair was orange. It was lovely.
See, fun fur has its place.
Yes, and second one was red cable tea cosy. That was lovely. And the third one's gone.
That's what it has. Mm-hmm. My people must be taking their stuff away now. And on to the infinity scarf. Now, let me see. Oh, look. Handicraft, section 4, infinity scarf. Louise Hunt me. I won. Why did you choose mine?
I liked the colour. I liked the pattern. And it just was so soft and lovely. And I was really surprised it was yours, because I didn't know. I wasn't surprised you had won it, you know, Knighton, but it just was lovely. Mm-hmm. Second was a purple knitted.
Yeah.
And the third one is a blue knitted. That's more lacy.
Yeah, so it's beautiful. That's Sarah's. And she got her mum to help her block it. And it's the first time she's ever blocked anything.
Wow.
So it's good. Beautiful. And yes. That one there is crocheted, and that's Miranda's.
It's lovely too.
I don't know who that one is. It's a sort of brown, quite thick. I think it's knitted.
Yes.
So on to the snowflakes, crocheted snowflakes.
I did like the second one, but I think it would have been better if that had been blocked.
Yes.
And then there's just two entries here. The first one is crocheted.
Yeah, they're both crocheted.
Yeah, but crocheted with wool. This one's crocheted with silvery thread,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's
very, very attractive, but I think it would have been better, but as I say,
Actually, that's Little's crochet cotton, because I've got some of that, and it's a darker white, and it loses, I think. Uh-huh. I don't think it looks as good as a stark white, but... right, moving on to the Christmas tree decorations. So it was three Christmas tree decorations on a cake board.
Little Santa with, it's knitted, and the little legs are all twisted and fluffy and lovely. And the twisted icicle.
I think that's crocheted. Yeah, it's crocheted.
And a felted green sock.
So what made you choose that one over the other ones?
Well, there's quite a lot of work in that Santa and this, and I just liked it. I thought it would look lovely on the tree.
Yeah, on the tree. That's Miranda's Auntie Katie.
Oh, right.
She's lovely. I love Auntie Katie.
And I did like this too. It was a toss-up. I loved that Santa face with a Santa hat.
It's needle felted. That's Lorna Bodie again, and then there's...
I recognise the Santa face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a full Santa sitting, and then a small Santa.
He's female.
And, yes. And the third prize was...
Knitted.
Boot. That's a knitted Santa head and a knitted...
No, it's
felted
with
tree.
Very
nice. I thought that they would look lovely on the tree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The winner. Next one, iPad, there was just one entry, but it's lovely. It's quilted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your neighbour had won it.
Miranda. It's got some bunny caterpillars on.
Yeah. And if your iPad fail, it was in that cover, it would never break because it's well padded.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
That's a good point.
Yes.
Right, on to the buttons. Who won the button?
The buttons.
Miranda won.
Yes, and it's framed. The background's all white buttons, all different sizes and colour. Oh, wait, you know, shaded white. It's got a heart, a lace heart, white, with the red buttons in the middle shaped as a heart. It's got love in red, and it's got little hearts at each side of the word love, and it's really lovely.
Yeah, it's well made. And then
yes.
Number two, Sarah's
little felted handbag.
Yes.
And with lots of buttons, all fancy, all sewn on.
Mm-hmm.
All shapes, sizes, colours. It's lovely. The little handbag is pink.
Mm-hmm. It was knitted and then felted, machine felted.
Uh-huh. And that was second. And the third was an F.
Box.
And it's all blue. Front blue ribbon trimmed around. And it's gorgeous buttons, all different sizes and shapes and different shades of blue.
Yeah, that's nice. I like the octopus. It was lovely.
Yes.
Right, and then there's the junior handicrafts. Oh, sorry, before I forgot. The bunting. Do you know, I'm really glad I never put my bunting in now.
Well, I really liked the two, and I couldn't decide because there's quite a lot of work with the boats. They're like little yachts, and they're log at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
wood log, and then they've got all different shape, coloured sails, and they've got a ring at the top, and they're threaded through on rope.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's quite a lot of work on that. And of course, it's got a seagull.
Oh, so it does. She got the driftwood. She went and got the driftwood. And I was there when she actually used a drill to do the sails into the driftwood.
Wow.
And she hand sewed some of them sails as well because her machine went funny on the last one.
Oh. So. Well, that was very good. And the other one is a Christmas bunting. And it's really lovely. And there would be a lot of work in this as well. And a lot of it, look at that elf with his big ears. There's a snowman, there's a robin, baubles, Christmas tree, Santa Claus, holly,
mm-hmm.
on different buntings and different colours. And it's really lovely. It's well
so
done.
What got best in show? What did you choose best in show? Was it the cross-stitch?
The mice.
Oh, it's the mice. Yeah,
the mice. I just think, look at the tail. And that is just so beautifully sculptured. And I just think it's absolutely wonderful.
Yes,
the little boy and the little girl. The little girl's got a little blue dress on with a pinny. The little boy's got a red top and navy trousers with a little yellow scarf, and they've got pink ears, and she is that a bit of cheese in her hand?
Yeah.
And
beautiful.
The cheese is in the middle, a big lump of cheese with the pins in,
mm-hmm.
at the pin holder. I think it's really, really good.
She did a lot of work anyway, so she deserved to get that.
Oh yeah.
Was it fun being a judge?
Yes, I enjoyed it. And of course the children's, there was lots of lovely handicraft. They're gone now.
Mm.
And the overall one was a wooden spoon with green black cleaners wrapped around the wooden spoon handle, and it's a skear, and there's the green legs, the green arms, and on the white is the ski
poles.
And skis are green cardboard, and he's even got a little green hat matching his
green pipe cleaner top.
God, and lovely. A lovely little face.
Love his face. It's
and
really
he's
good.
He's on a he's on a bit of cork.
Lovely.
Standing up, and I just thought, so simply done, yeah, but really, really lovely.
Miranda.
Thank you.
How old is he?
Hi, he is in primary.
Four.
He's so he is nine.
Well done.
Thank you.
This is Miranda, my neighbour. You did very well today, Miranda.
Hello, neighbour. Yes, I've had a great day. Thanks very much. I only started on Thursday.
You're no kidding.
No, I am. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I fell out with my husband and I locked myself in the craft room.
Oh, well, that's a good
day. Is that a good day?
I should have done that as well.
Thank you. But yes,
you did well.
Yeah, it's been a good day. Lots of injuries.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
Okay. She was just explaining how she judged.
Oh, she was a very good judge. Very fair. I didn't have to bribe her at any point.
I've been just told I have. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So while my teapot won nothing, I got a first place for my crochet infinity scarf using the broomstick or lightsaber method. I was quite delighted. I've got photos of Flickr on this to match the audio for you. It'll make much more sense if you see that. I even have my neighbour Miranda in there at the end, and I'm thinking she's the first real-life Caithness accent that I've had on the podcast, other than the bairns and myself. Because in 4 years I've had plenty of other people, but not with many with actual Caithness accents. Now the show itself was good, all outdoor shows, the weather makes or breaks it, and that Saturday was very sunny but with a cold strong wind. But it made for a great day out. I had to zoom in the morning and set up my exhibits, and I helped a couple of the other people put labels on theirs, and then we had a good nose up and down the exhibits and all going, oh, and oh, and ooh, oh, I wish I'd thought of that. Sarah did really well with quite a few rosettes for her work, and Miranda got a couple too. And there was more entries in the craft hall this year, so they were really glad about that. Then we got out and around the showground, and there was a dog show, the John O'Groats fire engine was in situ, the bairns can have a shot on the hose. This was upwind of the dog show, and we got a little bit wet. In good humour, of course. We looked at the horses jumping and being judged. We looked at the sheep, the goats, the chickens, the coos. They had sheep shearing, which was quite good watching. I liked seeing how they were going to roll the fleece up afterwards. And they were pretty clarty sheep. And I did wonder what it would spin up like when it was clean, because inside it was quite nice and white. There was a police dog demonstration and a bouncy castle, face painting, etc. for the bairns. There was really a little something for everyone. Near the end of the day, they had the lamb race. And this is where the farmers had put the pet lambs lined up at one side. And they had wee bairns with food at the other end of the line. So, quite a long organisation part. And eventually the crowd got to shout, 1, 2, 3, go! And the farmers let the lambs out. We were mad with excitement. And without exception, all of those lambs went 3 steps out and went, ooh, grass. Nom, 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 nom. And stopped to eat. It was a classic You've Been Framed moment, very funny. So if you have a show local to you coming up, do think about putting some items into the handicrafts. It's a good way to support the local community, see your pals and neighbours, and you get to eat sausage on a roll. Yum, 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 yum. And cake. There was lots of tea and cake. Whoa, proper home baking too.
The swap section.
Swap and Cal. You still have time to enter the 100 gram knit along, but you really better be quick because it's the 19th today. So this doesn't matter if you were in the 100 gram swap or not. The rule is 100 grams, 4-ply sock or fingering weight yarn can be used, and all you have to do is finish the object, photograph it, and link it to the finished object thread by the end of June 2014 for a prize of a project bag. And it's any pattern you wish. So sign up, get knitting. I'm knitting Sandy a sock. Notice that there's no S on the end of that sentence. I don't think I'm going to get the other one finished in time. Project bag swap. This can be one that you've made or bought and should be for a smallish project, so no bigger than 13 by 13 inches of bag size to keep it fair. Also do include a note and up to 3 other items craft related, and one of the items can be Sweeties. So post it by the 30th of June 2014. When you receive, can you put up a note on the group to say that you have received it, and if you can manage it, a photo of your goodies, because we like the goodies.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Right, me, me, me section. I have finished The Hogwarts Express Shawl by Susan Ashcroft. I used 3 balls of Surder Snuggly Baby Speckle, and this is a cotton blend double knit and a 50 gram ball. The rows were long, and I have 28 ewels. The ewels are split into 12 stitches of pattern repeat. And the shape is a shallow banana kind of shape, which suits me because I like to wear mine with the main design hugging the top of my right shoulder and then pin it on my left shoulder. I really like this pattern, even though it was not precise in the directions of weigh your yarn and when you get to point X, increase. The increase row made me a little bit antsy because it wasn't laid out in slow and clear and one word at a time instruction. But once I got there and worked it through, I thought, oh, I didn't really need to. But there's really good help for this pattern online, as the designer has a group on Ravelry and welcomes help requests. I didn't feel the need to help her, but it's nice to have that, just in case, so you've got your get out of jail free card available. And it's lovely. It's really, really nice. That wool, I would love to make a baby cardigan out of that, or jumper. No babies coming up, so don't need to, but it would be one I would recommend to use again. And the colour itself reminds me of barn owls. So I'm quite delighted with this shawl. I would recommend this one if you were looking for doing a shawl. Quite a reasonably fast knit, I would say, because the majority of it is the garter stitch, and then you're doing your charted or your pattern, written pattern, part of the pattern. But once you've got there, really that's you finished. So I picked up Sandy's socks then to crack through to the end of June, because it's kind of getting countdown. Ah! And I've gone with the Totally Vanilla pattern from the Socktopus book. And this has got my notes from previously knitting this, which is quite handy. Still really a beginner sock knitter. I do have the Fish Lips Kiss Heel pattern by Socks Therapist, but I didn't do it. I'm on a deadline. I thought, well, I'll work faster on a pattern that I've already made 3 times. I like this yarn as well. It's really nice. It's nice and dense. And it's what I think that sock yarn should be. It's Knit Picks Felicie and the colour name Marsh. And it's brown, green, blue coming out in nice long repeated stripes. The yarn's soft, 75% superwash merino, 25% nylon for the strength and the stretch. And I'm not far off the first toe, but I don't think I'll be finished 2 of them by the end of the month. You never know. It's a good job I'm not knitting to get a prize back myself, isn't it? Do what I say, not what I do kind of thing. You never know. The second sock always goes faster for me, but I'll get there. I think what's put me off is actually doing my Kitchener, because the Kitchener are my last socks. I was so delighted I'd got to that point. I didn't do a very good job of it. So this time I'm definitely going to do a good job of it. On to the collective. At the Textile Artists, I'm still doing sewing onto my textile art piece of The Sunrise Over the Harbour from January. And I was adding beads along one part of it to soften the straight and the hard edges, because the rest of it's quite sort of flowy. And I'd like to put a seal in, but I'm not sure how to do that. I'll have to think about that. I've watched a couple of textile art DVDs, which I'll tell you about now. One was one that I'd seen before by Enika Berlin about luchador, and the other was by Andy Hughes about velvet. And both were from the Inspired collection of instructional DVDs from Colorishus. I think that they're a bit like Craftsy in that they're educational tutorials that teach you, but in DVD format rather than online. Currently the costs of the DVDs are pretty good at £8.99 each, down from £19, and they have a collection of 14 DVDs for £90, which is quite good if you're seriously into it. The luchador one reignited my love of the luchador material. Luchador is a man-made fibre that is used industrial use for the backing of things such as car seats and sofas. It can be manipulated wonderfully, but painting, cutting, burning, sticking, fusing, sewing, printing onto it, and lots of other things for us textile artists. Enika is a really good tutor, and nothing in this DVD is complicated or difficult if you have the tools. She makes... And by the tools, I mean in a good pair of scissors and acrylic paint, you could get away with most of it. She makes flat pictures and landscapes, and also three-dimensional boxes and lampshades. The Velvet DVD was good in the fact that I hadn't seen Angie Hughes' work before. She's very influenced by the artist Gustav Klimt, he of Austrian symbolism painting, The Kiss fame. Now, I didn't know who he was, and I was searching Google because she kept referring to Klimt, and I typed in C-L-I-N-T, and it came up with Mr. Eastwood. Then I realised and thought, oh, right, him, that painting. Oh yeah, that's not really my taste. I like the Impressionists more. Doesn't that sound quite pretentious? So whilst I love the techniques that Angie Hughes does on Velvet, I wasn't so much into her style of finished art, but totally okay, as she had some great techniques such as painting onto the velvet with different paints and inks, block print by inking on the design, and then you put bleach onto your stamp, and then it goes onto the fabric, it takes out whatever dye or paint that is in the stamp's design. So if you had a block printed of a flower and you put bleach onto it and then you put it onto your piece of velvet, the whatever colour was on that piece of velvet would come out and you would be left with the bonny picture of the stamp. I really liked this effect with the stamp that she used. However, slightly perturbed because she had no warning about the use of bleach, because bleach is nasty. Everyone, health and safety warning. If you're going to use bleach on your artwork, there's no reason not to. Just be a bit careful by using, say, rubber gloves, work in a ventilated area, and don't spill or leave it lying around. Now, she didn't spill or leave it lying around, but she never mentioned this and she didn't use gloves. My health and safety radar was going nuts. But then she got the gold transfer foil out and I forgave her. She used glitter and, oh, nice and shiny. I never thought about doing that before. I like a bit of shiny, just not in the Klimt style. Then she did a few more things and did my favourite technique of putting organza over the piece and sewing it down with machine embroidery. I liked her techniques. It was nice to see these things on the screen. And it makes you more it makes me more motivated about doing them. I expect craftsies like this. I've not actually done any of them due to having broadband being slower than the slugs in my polytunnel. I just can't bring myself to do it. We were all kinds of working away at textile artists on our bits and pieces. Now, Charlie had been doing a piece using the Japanese technique of shashiko, I think that's how you say it, which is very elegant, and it uses white basic running stitch on a blue piece of fabric. And what she had done, she had drawn out geometric shapes in white rule, and then she sewed over them white on blue, and it was quite striking. Very bonny geometric shapes. She likes this technique, and so she was going to go off and buy some more of the specific thread. Valerie had the screen prints out and was very happily doing a landscape of seed heads and bronzes and silvers. Catherine was working on a piece of wet felted wool. She had decided that the one she had done a couple of weeks ago was too thin, and she needed just a bit more. So she was wet felting in more wool that I'd given her, so it was in browns and creams. She put in some wee swirls and it's really come out lovely now. So now she's just adding some more threads and natural colours, and it's a very natural piece of art. Dorothy had been on holiday and came back, and during such she had visited the Great Scottish Tapestry when it was being shown in Paisley. Apparently the venue was stupendous. Some of you have been and I was most delighted with you. And it was full of natural light, plenty of room to go around the panels, which were all in the same room. Plus, the venue used to be the mill for Coates threads, which doesn't really get much more stitchy than that. I'm not sure if she met Paula McEwen, who was one of the helper organisers at Paisley, but she did speak to quite a few people who showed interest in our panel, explained our thoughts and experiences behind it. She got speaking to one lady who said, "Oh yes, I know one of the stitchers on this," and Dorothy was all, "Who's that?" The lady said, "Celia, I was her bridesmaid." Dorothy goes, "This is brilliant!" And Dorothy was there for quite a while chatting. I really like how this has happened. And I don't think she would have ever found out this fact that this lady was Celia's bridesmaid had she not been at the Caithness panel, and yet there she was, and now we've got a story. How wonderful is that? Kate Davis has been to visit the exhibition and has a really lovely write-up on her blog with all the panels. Our Jeannie Neep got a special mention, and you'll see my comment underneath that blog entry if you look close enough. I have to remember that the tapestry now belongs to everyone, not just us. But I feel I'm glad to share it because it brings us all together. Drams.
And I hope you like drumming too.
On to the drums this episode. And after this, there is the blah 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 bit and the shoppy bit. So if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thanks for listening. I'll catch you next episode. If you are into the drinking and the shopping, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Tully Bardon Sovereign Single Malt Whiskey.
We're drumming. We hope you like drumming too.
Hello.
Hello.
You remember us?
Oh, it's been such a long time.
It has, for drums. Welcome to this episode of The Drams. And this episode, we are drinking a Tully Bardon
Sovereign
Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. What do we do? Right, we're drinking a Tully Bardon. Now, where did this come from?
This came from Mackay's in Thurso.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there looking for a little gift for you and me for our wedding anniversary.
Oh, yes, of course, aye.
So, basically, I was in there and I was having a look and, to be honest, we've tried all the kind of more obvious, not say common, but the more kind of frequent whiskies that we see. And I was looking around and I was thinking, I don't want to spend too much. And then this
Thanks.
One... Thanks. Well, you know, our wedding's based on that, isn't it? Shirking away from spending money.
Mm.
Thrift and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I was speaking to the nice lady in there and sort of asking about certain ones that I hadn't tried before and not seen before, and there was one from Isla, which I've asked for a miniature for because it was quite expensive and I want to try it first before I spend an outlay of the money it cost. And this one, which she said to me was rated or voted the best under £100 whisky of this year. Now, I take that all with a pinch of salt because we're only halfway through the year. So you might find one next week that's even better. But anyway, so I got it and it was...
much was it?
£38.
Okay.
And it's nice, but because I did sample, as you can tell from the bottle.
Well, they can't see that, dear. How much is left in the bottle?
Oh, about a third.
Mm.
But you've had as much as I've had.
Yes, well, we'll discuss the flavour of it in a minute.
Okay, so, onto the box.
Onto the box.
The box.
The box is, this is my job.
It's a good solid box.
It's a good solid cardboard affair with it's square and...
it's got a lifty lid.
It's got a lifty lid that has another square bit in it that's got the hole that the whiskey bottle will go into. But it's a really sturdy cardboard and it's in grey with gold writing on it and a really bony black etched design of the distillery over three sides.
A very simple but effective.
Yeah, it is. The banner at the top is in white and then it's got Tully Bardon Highland Single Malt Scotch Whisky Sovereign, matured in bourbon barrels. That'll affect the taste.
It does.
And were distilled and bottled in Scotland Tully Bardon Distillery Co. Blackford, Perthshire. So it is a Highland, an actual proper Highland.
Interesting to note the date at the top.
Well, that's on the back, dear. Their tagline is a drop of pure Highland gold. You have to say it with a roll in your R's.
As if you're from Perthshire, pretending you're from the Highlands.
Well, they are technically Highlands.
Mm.
It's the start of the Highlands.
Mm.
It is. It's always been, way back when. Just because you're not from the Highlands doesn't mean that they're
I
not.
I am.
You're not. You're from Oban, and that's
it
not...
it used to be a part of the Highlands.
Yes, but that was a long time ago.
Big hills and...
moving on.
All sorts of stuff.
Right,
there.
So, 1488 distillery. That's actually quite a long
dismissed.
Time ago. Yes, you're dismissed. Stop talking, I've moved on. The box, there's quite a lot of information on the back. 40 centilitre bottle, 43% volume alcohol. And we have drink responsibly. Do not drink if you're pregnant. And they've got one, what are they, little barcodes?
I can't remember what they're called, but they're called something.
You know, well,
you
they've got the barcodes. And then they've got the wee code thing that you can scan with your code. It's all
square.
Squares. Which is quite a new thing to see.
It even tells you what one alcohol unit equals 3 centilitres.
Well, I just feel wrong. Yeah. Okay. Dismissed again. The history of Tully Bardon for distillery. distilling and brewing is one of the oldest in Scotland. Located in Blackford, the gateway to the Highlands, which is true, it was here in 1488 that the young King James IV of Scotland stopped by on his way to his coronation to purchase beer from the local brewery. This is recorded as the first public purchase of beer. Now, in the Caithness segment, we've actually just about got to 1488. So we've mentioned King James IV. As well as the easy access from the north and the south, making it a perfect location for distilling, there is also plentiful supply of fresh spring water from the surrounding Ochil Hills, which are also well known for the gold that was mined from them. The water that reaches the distillery has been taken 15 years to reach the Danny Burn, which is the spring that we take our water from. How do they know 15 years?
Work out.
In 1947, the brewery was converted to a distillery and was named after the small medieval chapel close to the distillery, which was built in 1446. Tully Borden means lookout hill in Gaelic. With a wide portfolio of stock ranging back as far as 1952, Tully Borden is a lovely, sweet, elegant and complex malt whisky. Jim Murray's Whisky Bible 2008 suggests that we are getting to the stage where Tully Borden is now becoming one of the true great single malts of Scotland. They're pulling that out, 2008. Anyway, I do like the box, very sturdy, it'll make an excellent package for something.
Yeah.
Right, bottle.
The bottle.
What shape was that
again,
bottle?
The date embossed.
And the crown.
That bottle.
Of 1488.
It's quite a... It's kind of...
It's following the crown shape. You know how a crown goes out the way at the top?
It comes down, it tapers down, it bulges out and then tapers in again. It's shoulder. Quite an elegant bottle, actually.
It is.
I find it quite feminine. You see what I mean? It comes down...
Can you imagine
down...
James Bond drinking it then? Because to me, he's like all masculine.
Only if he buys me one.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, he probably would. The colour in the bottle.
When the colour of the bottle or the colour in the bottle?
In the bottle. Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh.
Definitely. Very gold.
Very gold.
Yeah, they're quite... They fit the nail on the head with that one. Cork, Mr. Hunt.
Ready?
Right, ready.
Oh, subtle. You hear it, a little squeak and a subtle one.
Mm.
Huh? Oh, no, the first one was better.
Mm. Where's your book glass?
Yeah, I didn't get myself a glass. Did you get me a glass?
No.
Oh, hold on, 2 seconds. I'll just get myself a glass.
Number one here.
Fail with this. I've forgotten. We haven't done this in a while. You normally set it up. Right, there's my glass. Look.
It's busy. Right.
Why are you putting 2 fingers underneath the neck?
Because it steadies it for the pour.
Where did you learn that?
I don't. I've always done it.
I've never ever noticed you doing that before. You're working tomorrow.
It's my dram size.
Smell of said dram. There's something...
You know, I'm getting vanilla and ice cream.
Vanilla and ice cream. Mm-hmm.
I know that's not what you're supposed to smell, but hey.
What does it say? It doesn't really.
It doesn't
really. Hold on.
Using barley pear drops and a creamy chocolate notes, which develop on the palate with a lingering finish.
I never read that. Sorry, listeners. Right.
I get ice cream and vanilla.
When they say the pear drops, I'm actually getting that kind of acetone. Is it acetone that pear drops is? Remember when you're in chemistry?
I get lost in the smell, I really do. Every time I get lost in the smell.
Well, back in the room. Can you remember when you were in chemistry and they made you sniff something that smelled like pear drops? Is that acetone?
I don't really remember.
Well, I'm getting that kind of sharp...
My time in chemistry was really trying to make the biggest... Bombs and explosions and fires and stuff.
Okay. So the smell and the colour in the glass again.
Well, I think yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Jakey's been sunbathing today.
Don't know. Maybe he's caught the sun.
Get it on. Mm. It's a very, very golden crab.
So lovely. It's like a pale, but it's still got a lovely, elegant kind of look to it.
Mm-hmm. It's not one I'd ever heard of. Actually, I have to say, sorry, Tully Borden people. Right, we've done swirly round.
Swirly round.
Saying it's time to come down, I suppose.
They all get...
I think
really need to be a bit more scientific about that swirly roundy bit, because
we've said this ever since we drank Highland Park, which is what it says.
I need to put our thinking caps on. Okay, so we've done
maybe we'll drop that.
We've done the smell, we've done the swirly round, the colour. Next is the
The water.
The water for you. The water for me. You?
Thank you. Oh, that was quite a lot for you.
I'm looking at the way it sort of
mixes.
I love that. I think it's one of the best things. It's like you can see every individual sort of strain and particle in it.
Mm. Right, taste, Mr. Hunt.
You think it's going to be sharp, but it doesn't actually become sharp.
Yeah, it is a little bit sharp when it goes in, but it doesn't get any worse.
No, I think you think it's going to be sharp, but it isn't.
No, I'm getting it kind of sharp. But then I just think it tastes like whiskey, people.
I get a pear off it now.
Oh, yeah.
Aye. I still get the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a kind of toffee kind of taste I get as well.
It's certainly sharp, but doesn't burn.
I'm not getting any creamy or chocolate kind of.
And
note.
I suppose the bourbon casks makes it that kind of light colour and light tasting.
Quite possibly.
No, it is.
I believe you.
Yeah. I've finally learned something. Right, what about the area that Tully Barden comes from?
It's quite close to Fife.
And Perth.
And Perth. Well, it's south of Perth and north of Dunblane.
Right.
It's a bonny part. We always call it kind of going into Hobbit country. You know, when you go north of Perth, well, north of Perth in this case, and you go south of Perth, it becomes more agricultural, and you've got the Ochils on your, as you're heading south, you've got the Ochils on your left-hand side, and you've got...
What's on the right-hand side and over the valley,
that
apart from
Creef? That goes over the big moss thing, does it not?
When you get down Flanders towards, Moss?
Aye, down to Dunblane, you've got Flanders over on your left, before you hit Stirling, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of like... It's kind of one of them places that it's like, you're either just near your destination, or just left where you were staying.
I would never stop there.
I used to go through there. Sometimes I'd take a trip through the countryside there to get to the Big L.
Mm-hmm. Which Longannet
Power Station, which is the big fossil fuel, coal burning, gas burning, wasted out fuel burning, biofuel burning.
But they're basically
the last of the big stations in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
which is where I cut my teeth.
So it's a very pretty area. They've got quite a few Highland watered places.
It's not rugged though.
No.
It's not a rugged area.
No.
It's not as nice like the Highlands. You think the Highlands, hills, trees, forests, rivers, glens, lochs. It's not like that. It's more kind of...
Well, there is hills and rivers.
No,
and
it's
lochs,
rolling hills.
But it's rolling because it's where
it's
the
agriculture.
Ice
there's a few forests. Oh, yeah, sure.
It's been glaciated. It's glaciated because there's big, wide U-shaped valleys.
Mm-hmm.
The hills are all rounded off and there's lochs.
Is Stuka Croin and Ben... Is it Ben Vorlich?
Yeah.
Aye.
I'm going to say yeah.
That's Stuka Croin, because I remember Stuka Croin because I got frostnip in my fingers.
Oh. And Creef...
Many tips turn black.
Creef is there down there as well. And...
Creef and Blackford. Where the distillery is.
There's quite a lot of stuff to do, but yeah,
you're kind of either near the big cities,
is on the way to somewhere.
Aye.
But it's a place that you think, oh, that looks quite interesting, and that looks quite interesting. Creef's a lovely little town to go have a smooch around. It's quite pretty, got some quite nice shops, bit of a tourist trap, but a posh tourist trap.
I spent 2 weeks there in the Creef Hydro, which is a dead posh hotel.
The Creef Hydro,
and I did my Nebosh safety certificate, a crash course in it, and it was good.
Let's stop there. We had a great big Scottish Water event there, so I was facilitating it, and I used to have to go up every week for most of the summer.
Creef?
Yeah, it was Creef Hydro. Yeah, and they've got brilliant facilities there.
Mm.
And we were offered to stay, but I was really too close to stay, and it was very interesting. So,
sure.
Who are you having around for your dram?
Well, on the basis of what we've done today, which we'll talk about in just a second, I'm having the Mobot.
Oh, good choice.
I was worried in case you'd had the Mobot before.
No,
this is Mo Farah, who's he was a 10K runner, and then he's moved up to half marathons and marathons. And He got a bit of criticism because he came 8th in the London Marathon, which I think is still awesome. And I probably came about 8th today in our 10K, which was actually 16K.
Would you like to explain this?
No, well, we'll come to it. We'll talk about it. Mo Farah, he's always got a lovely wee smile on his face. And
he's worked hard to
Is it Kenya he come from?
I don't know.
He runs for Britain anyway.
He's a gold medalist.
And I think he's just a great sportsman. And I remember seeing him when he won the 10K in the Olympics. And he had his pregnant wife and his bairn. And giving them all a hug and everything. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good sportsman. Obviously very driven, very dedicated.
You'd have to be.
Aye. And it'd just be nice. Maybe not to have a dram. Maybe just to smell a dram. Because I'm reckoning he probably won't drink. Because I don't think he eats meat or anything like that as well.
No, I don't think he does. But in my drams, he doesn't actually get the benefit of it. Anybody who doesn't drink can still come and have the drams. It wouldn't have any alcohol.
Here's a question.
What?
Do you have... Because I know you get non-alcoholic wine and non-alcoholic beer, which I've had before. Do you get non-alcoholic whiskey?
I have never heard of such a thing, but I think that maybe we should ramp up the iPad and have a look.
We shall.
Yes. So, you do that whilst I see who I'm having.
Who are you having?
Well,
From James Bond.
Oh, well, I wouldn't mind. But Jeff. I have the Judi Dench.
Judi
variety.
Dench is a fantastic game.
She's a good, yeah. But that wasn't who I was going to have. Now, we were today running a 10k fun run at Berriedale. And in Caithness, Berriedale Breeze is a pretty outstanding barrier to the county in the south. And you go down 13%. And then you come back up 10%. It goes really far down to the valley floor and then back up again. And then there's a sharp hairpin bend. And people remember this place because it's quite steep. And even on the way down, there is an escape bed on the left-hand side where it's got soft sand if your vehicle runs into difficulty going down so you can't make the corner. You go down there and you would be saved. Which has been used. It's not much fun in the snow, let me tell you. And quite a lot of people have come a cropper on there. And there's a few stories, but it's a bit infamous. So we saw this sign up saying Berriedale 10K Fun Run. And we all went, no, you're running up and down Berriedale Breeze. But it turns out that we registered up in the old hall halfway up. And then you go down to the Langwell Estate. And then you run around the Langwell Estate, which we weren't sure if it was going to be up or down. And they says, yeah, there's a bit of up and there's quite a bit of down as well, which was fair enough. And there was a 5K event and a 10K event. And our Richard's brother, Stuart, was up. So he was quite happy to take the bearings on the 5K event, which we asked them, are you happy to do that? Because it's a bit longer than the May Mile, which is what they did for the May 10K. Well done for you for getting a personal best, the May 10K.
Thank you. That was good. Mm-hmm. And I know I can do better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Which is a pretty flat course. But today, it wasn't a flat course. And the first 2.5K, in fact, most of, I'd say, the first 4K, 4.5K, was pretty flat. But the 5K was an out and back event, and the 10K was out, keep going a bit, come back, and then do a loop event. Now, Richard, off he went with the fast ones.
I have to say, I was running with the guy that came second in the May 10K, who's sort of like 35, 36 minutes for 10K.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running at the start, I was running at sub 4 minutes a K, and I was just really just to experience what it's like running when these guys are quite good at that kind of pace and distance. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of left me over, you know, after a few Ks they left us. And I got to 6K because there was no marshals and no stewards. I was looking at these guys who were a good half K ahead of me. I'm thinking, we're at 6K and we have to go back. And at 5K I was starting to have my doubts. I was thinking, I've started shouting at them at 5K. That we've gone sort of either too far, wrong direction, or someone had not told us to turn round. And it transpires. They hadn't.
No, they'd missed putting out the turnaround sign. So there was quite a bit of confusion with most of the runners, which was a shame because it kind of marred the event. And I ended up doing 13.5k and you ended up doing 16k.
But it was a good... I took like a training exercise.
Weather was beautiful.
Beautiful. And we all cooled off. I went skinny dipping in the North Sea afterwards.
You skinny dipped.
Okay, I went skinny dipping in the North Sea.
I just went in with my running gear on.
The bears were kind of nice. Well, if you can discount their tops, they went skinny dipping too.
There's a beautiful pebble beach down Burydale Place, which I'd never been to before, and they had the old fishermen's cottages, which they've been turned into self-catering holiday cottages. Keep an eye out for them. It'd be a beautiful, quiet place for you to go on your holiday. You have to cross a river with one of them swingy bridges. And poor Quattro, he did not like the swingy bridge. We have to have a special mention for Quattro because he did the 5K on his lead. And it's a hot day, so we're very cautious, conscious that Quattro had to have water, the bairns had to have water. So we were running and running and we started off and I thought, well, I'll sit behind the lovely Alison. And I know that she doesn't go too fast, but she doesn't stop and she keeps at the same pace the whole time. And then I turned around, I'll have a wee look around and see how many people are behind me. And I see Sandy. I thought, goodness me, and he was bombing up behind me. So I stopped and I waited for him. And then we kept running and he was doing really well and he would go a bit faster and come a bit slower and then go a bit faster and come a bit slower and I was trying to keep him, tell him, look.
He's good at judging his pace.
Well,
for an 8-year-old, yeah, he's got a cracking
mind about
running.
For an 8-year-old, it's fantastic. So then I made him stop and have some water.
Proud dad speaking here.
And he just zoomed off. I had to run really fast to catch him up. But then at the 2.5k mark, he went back and I carried on. And then the debacle of where do we turn round? We went forward, we went back, we went forward, we went back. Then finally we got a marshal who sorted it out.
Just go back to Sandy. Where did he come?
First.
And where did Daisy come?
Third. In their 5K vote.
It's my bairns.
Isn't that good? I don't know what Quattro came, but he was really good. And Uncle Stewie looked after them very well.
He got medal too, so he was certainly in this sort of... one of the adults category.
Yeah. So... yeah, then we went up the hill. What a beautiful scenery it is up there. You start going up towards Morven, which is the hills, and they said, oh, there's deer up there. But I think
I've seen a lot of deer.
Did you? I've never seen one.
Ah, no, I've seen a couple of hairs of deer.
Lovely.
And a couple of stags sort of singled out.
Oh, well, they must
have... we were out in front and ahead. Well, so.
They got scared off by the time Panty Lady here came.
At 6K, I was sitting in third place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still going good.
Mm.
And then it all just went.
I struggled going up the hill. But for the last 5K coming down the hill, I never stopped. Really enjoyed it. And scenery was beautiful. Then, as I said, we went to the Pebble Beach and all went in the sea. And it was good. So, aside from the marshal, it's a story.
It's a story. So, I
never actually
said
who's going to come.
Who are you going to have?
Well, I was actually going to invite Elaine McGilvery.
Oh, mm-hmm. Elaine McGilvery. I thought she's going to get thinking you're a stalker because you mentioned her in the last one.
I mentioned her in the last two.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, just to see if she listens to the second one.
Aye.
But she loved notes, and I know she doesn't drink actual whiskey because she said she was a vodka girl, but...
she certainly is.
She's good crack.
Chili vodka.
Graham McGilvery's sister, who...
Graham's been in the drams.
He's been on the drams, and we nearly had a drams after the May 10K, but we decided just to dance with our bums spilling out our names instead and drink champagne.
It's a great way to waste time.
It was good fun. So
if only I'd been shown that kind of dancing technique when I was young, and I still can't dance, but even then when I was younger, maybe it would have made me look as if I could dance.
And where are you going next weekend, Richard?
I'm going to the island of Hoy, which is part of the Orkney Archipelago, and I'm running a half marathon on Hoy, which is apparently a brutal one because it's up and down all the way. So, to be honest, doing 16k a day, which is just shy of doing the 13.1 mile for a half marathon. I think it's 21.5k. It was good training exercise because it was up and down. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Just a bit of a logistical nightmare getting there and back because you have to go to an island to get to another island. and then I'm staying in a youth hostel and then coming back and hopefully getting the last ferry back if I run it quick enough and cycle from the ferry terminal to the other ferry terminal, which is 8 miles. So it's going to be a bit of a... I'll have done a few miles on bike and on foot by the time I get in. But no, I'm looking forward to it. And our house, where it sits in the north of Scotland, looks right onto the island of Hoy across the Pentland Firth. So I am really looking forward to that one. So no, I'd be happy to have a dram with Elaine McGilvery, so long as she behaved herself.
Elaine. Sure she would. She would just sit there and talk about knots.
And fence and spikes and whatnot.
Yeah. So, the dram.
Two seconds. I just backtrack a bit. Oh. We're talking about non-alcoholic whiskey.
Is there?
There is some, yes.
Oh.
I bring your attention
to... How bizarre.
Arkai alcohol-free whiskey, 1 litre bottle. And I'll just read the sort of description and then we'll look at some of the reviews. Arkai now has the kick that you expect and the malty caramel aroma that you dreamed of. Now when drinking Arkai, you will feel a sizzling effect on your tongue and the malty caramel aroma will invade your mouth just like whiskey does. Arkai has 0 calories, 0 alcohol, 0 fat, 0 maceration, 0 sugar and 0 intoxicating effects. Tastes and looks exactly like traditional whiskey. Drink straight with soda, cola or other mixers, 1 litre bottle. Label may be in either English or French. Contents identical. So, okay, I'm interested because I've been known to drink the odd non-alcoholic beverage.
When you said zero this, zero that, I was so tempted to say 0 point. But if you're pregnant...
Yeah, well, that's how we got into non-alcoholic drinks because I do like the taste of beer and drinking non-alcoholic beers. So I used to do it quite a bit.
Let's look at
some of the reviews. Thought it would be a good present for my mother, who can no longer drink alcohol. And in her words, if alcohol whiskey would have tasted anything like Arkai, she would never have started. As an aftertaste, like cloves and TCP. Never again. Did not expect it to have the bite or burn of whiskey, but expected once lemonade was added, to taste something like whiskey and lemonade. But no, it tasted like lemonade with aftertaste.
Okay,
let's have another one. Arrived very quickly and well packed. But if you like whiskey, I think it's highly unlikely you will enjoy this. I found it to be very bitter when drunk straight, with an unpleasant aftertaste, reminiscent of leather.
Oh dear.
Although I wasn't expecting it to be exactly like whiskey, I was very disappointed in how much it wasn't. It probably should be served with a strong mixer to make it palatable.
Was there any decent reviews? Because they're all very poor.
There's no 5 stars. There's 1 4-star.
There's 1 4-star here. Oh, well. So if you're into whiskey, there is non-alcoholic.
I think it's more for people that shouldn't really be drinking anything.
Oh, right, okay. So,
anyway, it's a bit too sensitive, that one.
Right. Well, there you go.
There we go. So we've got Mo Farah and Elaine McGilvery. That would actually make quite a good conversation, I think. Corn sausages and chilli vodka. With a note. So, would you drink it again?
If you bought it, yes.
I quite like it. I wouldn't say it's an outstanding one that I would say, that's magic, I'm going to go out and buy another bottle of that.
No.
But I would say, I'm glad I bought it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, oh, don't buy that. But I wouldn't put it in my top 10. Sorry, Tilly Barden, I'm sure you're very nice, but...
I like it. I would drink it again. In the right mood.
I drank the rest of the whiskies and hot toddies. We didn't have any for a while. And then I went on to the rum hot toddies, which tells you how long my chest thing happened for. However, it's all sorted now. So would you buy it?
Not at the prices asking for it.
Mm.
It's nice, but I think you can get as nice or better whiskies for less than £30.
See, it does what it says on the tin. It's a drop of pure gold, Highland gold.
Perthshire.
Which is Highland.
I struggle to accept that it's Highland. I grew up in amongst hills, rivers, forests,
the
glens.
The north of Perthshire is very Highland. Yeah, it's not actual Highland region.
80 miles north of there.
It's not Highland region.
No.
But
Perthshire, it's Perth and Kinross.
Historically, that's where the Highlands started because it wasn't a city.
Well, so Argyll used to be in the Highlands.
Perth used to be in the Highlands, and it was quite...
The drovers used to come through from there.
So that's why. It's
I'm not dismissing.
I would have said more so that than the ones in Aberdeenshire that say that they're Highland. Again, this might come back to the category of Highland. We really need to look that up.
I do think that we should try some Archai non-alcoholic whiskey. For
how much is it?
Doesn't say. Currently unavailable. It's probably been taken off the market.
For being that bad.
For being that bad.
Yes. Well, if any of you listeners have tried it or want to try that, let us know. On that note, what we're going to say?
Wikiva.
Wikiva, slangiva. Now, I've since decided that I don't think I'll drink Tully Borden again, because it was one of those drams that made me tetchy and ratty afterwards. Remember I've said this before, some drinks affect me like this, and so I never touch them again. Don't ask me about the tequila incident in 1996. Richard might drink that, I thought. He did get a miniature of the Kilchoman. I don't know how you say that. Kilchoman. Kilchoman from Islay that we've got to taste. Kilchoman? I'm not 100% sure how you say that. Maybe it's on the bottle. That's a miniature. And Richard did the Hoy Half Marathon in 1 hour 43 minutes, which is really good for him. And it'd been a tough course of up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, all the way through its 13 miles with a nasty one right at the end. He has now recovered. It might take him a few days.
Shoppy section.
This is the business transaction of you get stuff back for your money, as well as the podcast. So if you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Keith Ness Craft. Well, these tartan project bags are quite popular. I am delighted. Every time I put them in, they go straight out again. However, I'll let you know now, there's two bonny, bonny red ones in there just now. I do have plenty more waiting to be sewn up, but I'm waiting for these two to sell first. And they're ranging from 10 inches to 12 inches. They're fully lined and they have drawstring ribbons on them. The current ones we've got is the bonny red tartan with the bonny scarlet red bagging, and also the purple and lilac tartan with some of my hand-dyed purple material on the back. Now you people who love tartan and Scottish things, just imagine going to your knit night with all those people that like Outlander and pulling out your tartan bag and laying it down and going, yeah, I got it from the lady in the Highlands of Scotland. You know that book Outlander that you like? Well, it's not the same tartan, but it's close enough. Yeah. When you can say, I got it on Etsy, or even through PayPal, because I do that too. You don't have to have an Etsy account. You just have to have a PayPal account. She's got a few in stock. You could have one too. And even you, who've not got your project bag organised for your swap, I've got tartan bags. You could buy one for you, buy one for your swapee. So you would be seeing this thing coming in and going straight back out. You wouldn't want that. You want to have keep one for yourself. So do please go on and have a look. And Mum's also got a couple up in other fabrics as well. Mum's been making the tartan ones as well. So also in the shop is still the wee notebook and what else is there? The journal for the E5 sketchbook. Very pretty. Loads of threads, loads of colour.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. I really do. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy! Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram as keithnesscraft. Subliminal message, I'll go to Etsy. And you can access the Flickr photographs for the pictures of Canisby Show that I was talking about earlier from LouiseJ2010. Visit the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photographs are down the right hand side. The music was from Mark Gunn's With Mountain Time, and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening. Keep on crafting.
Together to Powell Mountain Time, all around. Will you go
I say go. Will you go? I say go. Will you go?